Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The Word of God from the Old Testament reading for this morning, the first Sunday after Christmas. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. This is God's word. Since my children are now, my youngest is a teenager, I'm not in tune with what the hot toy is every year at Christmas. That's probably something to do with Baby Yoda or something like that. When I was a child in the mid-80s, it was Transformers. More than meets the eye. That's what they said about Transformers, because a Transformer was a robot that turned into a car or a truck or a jet or... there was even a boombox or something like that, something kind of bizarre. It was not quite what it appeared. More than was readily visible to the eye. One year for Christmas, I got the best Transformer that there was, and it was stuck in my memory. That was the couldn't stop talking about that I got the best Transformer that was out there in the Sears Wish Book that year. It occurs to me that many Christmases are often defined by what's not readily available to the eye, what's not easily seen. Maybe you've experienced a Christmas where everything on the surface seemed like it was normal, like every other Christmas, but you knew there was something beyond what everyone else could see or hear or know about. That changes everything. Picture children in a home where they don't know their mom and dad are talking about a divorce. Or a grandmother who gathers for Christmas with her family and she hasn't revealed to them yet that she has cancer and she's dying. That there's things that are not seen and heard, things that are more than what's visible to the eye. That would change everything if everyone knew about them. Perhaps those are the Christmases that stand out in our memory the most, the ones where everything was not the way it was supposed to be, or where everything, though you tried to make it appear normal, it just wasn't. Isaiah delivers a word from the Lord that reminds us as the people of God that He, the Lord God, is at work and accomplishing His plans even when what we see, what's readily available to the eye, what we hear, what our senses dictate, tell us differently. And God's people have a tendency to be, well, they tend to be really poor theologians every now and then, because they tend to think that when things are going bad, when things are going wrong, when there's pain and hurt and sorrow and chaos and destruction everywhere I look, that must mean that God doesn't interest, He doesn't have an interest in me, He doesn't care, He's angry at me, He's judging me, or something of the sort. That when God loves me and is doing good things for me, that means everything in my life's going good. But that's not how it works. And if you've fallen into that, repent of that way of thinking. Because Isaiah reminds us that God is at work when what our eyes and our ears and our senses show us tells us differently, God is still doing His saving work. And in our Old Testament reading, Isaiah tells us about Jesse. Who's Jesse? Well, Jesse was the father of King David. Now, when you're the father of a king, what does that usually mean? Well, that means you're royalty yourself, right? Not so with Jesse. Jesse was not a king. A humble man with sons, the youngest of whom was a shepherd. And that shepherd, David, he was called to be a king. Not because his father was a king, but because God had chosen him and anointed him for that role. Jesse was not a king. David, Jesse's son, had been promised would be the father of kings. He would be the first of a line of kings. That God would keep David's son on the throne forever. That David's family tree would be great. But everything in Israel looked and sounded like all of that was going awry. It appeared that the great tree of David's family was going to be cut down to nothing but a stump. So that all would be left was not even David, but Jesse, the one who wasn't even royal himself. And yet, Isaiah reminds us, God would bring forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, fruit that would grow from the roots of Jesse. In other words, when it appeared that everything was undone, that everything was ruined, that everything was destroyed, God would still be at work. God would still provide an heir to the throne of David. God would still send his son. Even what eyes and ears tell you say differently, God does the work of saving his people and redeeming his people. The one who comes forth from Jesse's stump, from the roots, is the one that Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. When everything was crumbling down around Israel, God prepared the way for Jesus Christ, the one anointed with power from the Holy Spirit, the one who with the Spirit and the Father is God himself, to be a king for God's people, to be the greater king than King David. When all that people saw was destruction, God was working salvation. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ, we have a God who works above and beyond and despite everything that we see and everything that we hear. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who judges his people despite what he sees and what he hears. Isaiah says, with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. When you survey your life around you, you might not see the sort of things that the people of God ought to have in their lives. In fact, if you're honest with yourself, you won't. You'll see your guilt. You'll see your sin. You'll see a life that's deserving of eternal damnation. And yet, when the one who comes forth from the stump of Jesse Christ our Lord. Isaiah says when he looks at you, he will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. He's the one who judges the poor and meek and broken of this world with righteousness. Righteousness, that's the belt of his waist, and faithfulness, the belt of his loins. By describing Christ's righteousness and faithfulness as a belt, Isaiah is showing that it's in the center of him, that it's at the core of what Jesus is about. He's the righteous one for the people who are unrighteous. He's the faithful one for those who are unfaithful. And he judges you not by what eyes see or ears hear. He judges you by his righteousness and his faithfulness. Because he is righteous and faithful for you. At Christmas time, you'll often hear the song that says, "Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear?" But let's reflect and give thanks for a moment on what Christ our Lord looks at but chooses not to see, what he hears but chooses not to listen to. Because when he looks at you, he does not see your shame, your guilt, your wickedness, the evil within your heart. He's the one who comes with righteousness and faithfulness for you. He's the one who sheds his blood for you so that you would be counted as righteous and faithful as he is righteous and faithful. Dearest friends in Jesus, the Christian faith is learning to see and hear with eyes and ears of faith what God has declared about you in his Son, Jesus Christ, even when all the evidence before you suggests the contrary. You think that all that's around you is sin and evil and wickedness, and all that exists within you is sin and corruption. But Christ our Lord says, "I have been righteous and faithful in your place. Look on me, the one who sheds his blood for you." This morning in our gospel, the old man in the temple, Simeon, held in his hands the infant Christ. When his mother and earthly father brought him to the temple to offer the customary sacrifice for a firstborn child, Simeon had been promised he would not depart this earth, he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And there, in that child he held in his arms, Simeon sang, "My eyes have seen, Lord, your salvation." You see, Simeon saw what the eyes and ears of the world couldn't see and hear. The world looks at a baby. And yes, Jesus was a baby just like every other baby, needing the care of his parents, sleeping, despite what Away in a Manger says he probably cried too, changing his diapers. He needed all those things. He was a baby in every regard, as a baby is a baby. And yet, when that's what the world saw, Simeon looked at the newborn Christ and saw his Lord, his Redeemer, his Savior, his Creator. The one that Simeon held in his arms, just 40 days old, having been born from his mother, was the one who had made Simeon. The one who is the son of David actually comes from the root of the stump of Jesse, because he's David's source and David's Lord. The one who is your salvation, dear friends, in Jesus is the one who saves you and redeems you and accomplishes God's work in your life no matter what your eyes and ears tell you as you observe the world around you. We, at the end of every divine service, we sing Simeon's words. Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the face of all people. Because in Holy Communion, when eyes and ears see bread and wine and hear only the words of a pastor speaking, faith knows that in this bread and wine, Christ our Lord feeds us and nourishes us with his very body and blood. The Lord grant each of you this day faith in the Holy Spirit to see and hear your Lord's love and forgiveness for you and his power over sin and death and the devil for you, no matter what your eyes and ears hear otherwise. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.